What we did was, is this design team came through and used very standard materials like concrete and windows and things, and put it together in a package that really, really, really just achieved the energy efficiency goals that we needed, using again those standard techniques.
Now, so often we hear there has to be some, if something is giving back energy, if it actually is more energy efficient, it had to cost more. Is that the case when you build this building?
Yeah, it's slightly more expensive, but it's still very cost-effective when you look at the long-term cost of operating a building. We're saving 50% of the energy that is returned to us over the life of the building, and that's 50% that we can invest or reinvest into research and development. So it turns out to be very cost-effective. It's not easy to do, but at the same time, by doing the project that we have done, we have demonstrated that it is possible, and we fully believe that people coming after us will be able to find more cost-effective ways to do what we've done.
So, and the cost savings end up, do you end up actually making money because it saves that much energy?
We don't really make money, but what we do is we avoid paying large utility bills. And again, every dime that we save from the utility bills, we can plow right back into research and development. And again, here at the National Renewable Energy Laboratory, where this building is located, our research and development is all about developing renewable energy efficiency technologies. And those investments of savings really help us accelerate the development of those technologies. It's going to help us in the nation in the future.
So paint a little picture for us. Since this is radio, we can create visual images. Do people, when you look at the building, does it look different? Do you say, hey, there's something up with that building that I don't quite get?
Yeah, that's a great question. In fact, the answer is yes. But it's very simple. So let me paint the picture. The building is about 60 feet wide. It's three stories on one of the wings and four stories on the other. It consists of two wings connected by a center corridor. The interesting feature of the building is it looks bland from the outside. It's concrete and has some window shading and things along those lines. But from the inside, the building is completely daylit. So 100% of the workspaces have daylighting in them. What that means is that any individual in the building is no more than 30 foot away from a window and can see the entire environment around him or her. And that in and of itself is enough to distinguish it visually.
And we talked actually to Sammy's finalists who does climaterials and actually focuses on using the materials that otherwise would be dumped in a landfill to actually go to a better use. So I would imagine that some climaterial issue came up in this building as well.
It's an excellent question. The leadership in energy and environmental design criteria, which is the standard that the U.S. Green Buildings Council put together, is the standard that we build to and frankly have exceeded. And the points that you get from LEED include a few points that you get for using or reusing materials. This is a LEED Platinum building, or the highest level, if you will, that USGBC offers. In the building, we've used concrete from recycled runways here in Denver from the Stapleton Airport.
Wow.
And so that concrete actually has gone into the walls of the building. We've also used, and this is really very unique, we've used a natural gas pipeline that we've refurbished and refinished to use for the uprights of the building. And so what we like to say is that we're building the new energy future on the backbone of the old energy past.
Wow. And I understand that the basement is actually constructed to deal with heat and cool in more efficient ways.
Absolutely. In fact, it's a very old concept, and that's really, I think, what characterizes this project. What we've done is take old concepts and standard materials and put them together in a very sophisticated package determined by energy modeling to produce a very passive but very effective high-efficiency design. And that old material, or the basement that you talk about, we call it a labyrinth. And what that simply does is it's a big concrete basement, just like you would have a cellar, for example, in a home, where we, in effect, can store heat and cold. And what we can do is we can condition air when we bring it into the building to, in effect, reduce, if you will, our heating requirements or our cooling requirements. Again, it's a very, very simple concept, but made possible, if you will, by looking at it afresh and using those concepts to drive, if you will, the future designs of commercial buildings.
And do you have ways of measuring how much energy the building is actually using? This is always one of the challenges, GSA trying to get to a zero carbon footprint. And part of the issue is, hold on, how do you measure that?
Absolutely, and that's critically important. In fact, let's recognize that this building is designed to be very highly energy efficient and ultimately net zero energy, but the proof is in the pudding. So what we've done is we've constructed this building as a living laboratory, which means that we've instrumented this building by providing meters on energy systems and things where you actually can take readings on the building. So what we'll do is over the course of the year, as people move in and the building starts to operate and normalize, what we'll do is we'll take the information that's generated from the building and we'll compare it to design factors. And if we identify things that work really well, we'll tell people about it. If we don't, if we identify things that don't work particularly well or not to design, we'll tell people about it. Our goal really is just to provide the credible scientific and engineering data necessary that others can replicate what we've done and improve upon it. So measurement and validation of the performance of building is critical, and we're committed to it.
And I got to get you to talk a little bit about what the National, because I'm not sure everyone knows, what the National Renewable Energy Laboratory is.
Well, it's first of all, it's a great place to work, and it has been for a number of years. But the National Renewable Energy Laboratory is one of the Department of Energy's national laboratories, and the NREL, as we call it, is dedicated to renewable energy and energy efficiency research and development. So much of the nation's investment in advanced energy technologies and alternative energy technologies comes to NREL, and NREL actually does the research and development on that. Examples of things that NREL works on are things like photovoltaic cells, geothermal energy, biomass energy, conversion of wind to energy, so wind power. So we do all those types of research and development programs. So it's been a very fun place to work, particularly over the last few years.
And particularly over the last couple of years, where this is so not only on federal agencies' minds, but on everybody's minds. How can I squeeze every energy dollar out so I don't have to pump it from the Gulf?
This is really, I think, the mark of our success. In fact, today, coincidentally, we have the Department of Homeland Security in with us, and they're actually working with us in a two-day workshop to understand how we designed and constructed the research support facility to be so energy efficient and potentially net zero energy. So our goal, again, is to duplicate or have others duplicate what we've done. And Department of Homeland Security is in here, actually, the first one in the building. In fact, we just opened up the building yesterday. So our first official meeting in the building is really with Department of Homeland Security, and they're trying to figure out how they, in effect, can take what we've done back to their agency and actually replicate our design process and produce very highly energy efficient designs themselves.
They're, of course, building their big headquarters in Southwest, so an opportunity to do this in a different way.
Absolutely.
Do a lot of these concepts, you're living, of course, in one of the most spectacular spots in the world there in Colorado, do these concepts, do they work in a place like hot, sweaty Washington? Will they work anywhere?
Absolutely. In fact, that's the key thing about, I think, what we're doing. It's not that our building is driven by exotic technologies. If you look at our building, it's made out of concrete with windows and standard carpet and all the rest of that. Our design approach, though, will enable anybody in any climate to, in effect, produce a more highly energy efficient building, no matter what that climate is, no matter what their need is. So the point with it is that if you design the building up front to be highly energy efficient, you invest, if you will, time and energy as an owner up front in that planning process, you too can produce a design that is going to be superior to anything else in the area.
Hmm. How'd you get into doing this? I mean, I can't imagine as a kid you think about, oh, I really want to build buildings that are incredibly energy efficient.
Well, you know, that's I'm sure it's the same answer that you get from many public servants. But I was attracted to public service because of the opportunities that public service offered. I happened as an engineer to end up here at the National Renewable Energy Laboratory about 20 or so years ago. And it just so happened that we had a need for this type of capability just to house people. And you started to ask yourself the question of what if. And as we defined the vision for the building, the what ifs, if you will, began to attract other people. And I've just tell you, I've been very, it's been a pleasure being involved with so many creative individuals that, in fact, ask themselves the question of, hey, what if, and they've now produced a building in 2010 that is so energy efficient that it's going to be a national standard.
And yet at the same token, you must get kind of frustrated with when people say, hey, the government isn't innovative. After all, the government built the internet. In fact, I was talking the other day about Pixar. The technology behind Pixar was started through the predecessor of DARPA, through a grant from DARPA. So the government can be very innovative and has done such amazing things. And one has to think that the stuff you're doing is just going to blossom in the future. Even more so than it is today.
That's one of the fun things about working in government. I agree that much of the leadership in the nation's innovation or research or development side really comes from government-funded research, whether it's conducted directly through government laboratories or universities. Many of the things that we've done, the space program, a lot of our medical advances, a lot of our energy advances, all started with government research and development. So those that think that that the government really can't do this really need to think a little bit harder, because the government is really behind many, many, many of the technological innovations.
Time to take a trek out to Golden, Colorado and check out this building, and you can see what the kind of stuff that's going on.
Well, we open up the doors on Monday, and we're happy to have everybody come out and visit. In fact, that's one of the nice things about the National Renewable Energy Laboratory. We're open to visitors all year, and we actually bring in school children to the tune of about 20,000 a year here, so we can show our kids how really to avoid the mistakes of the past.